the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey! Let's go. That's right. The Warriors and the Celtics are going to be playing here in just a couple of hours right here on 95.7 The Game. You need to expand on what you just said. So start with define rivalry.
Rivalry is a matchup among teams where there is history and some bad blood and a game that rises above the level of a normal regular season game.
Okay, and then earlier today you said to me, and I want you to explain this, that this, the Warriors and Celtics, are a reverse Chiefs-Niners.
Yeah, and the Chiefs-Niners is the Niners are the little brother where they have not gotten over on the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have won, what, three Super Bowls now, including two over you? And so you are the little brother in the relationship. And in this one, I think that Boston is the little brother, even though they are defending champs and they've got their neat little cute little one title in this era. I know they have many, many more going back to Bill Russell and Paul Pierce and the rest of it. But I think that they still look at this Warrior team as being the big brother. And maybe not coming off of last year, but in general, you look at the Warriors, and when the Warriors come to your town and you've got Steph and Draymond, you get up for that game. And Jason Tatum, having been mostly snubbed by Steve Kerr in the Olympics, I do think he has a chip on his shoulder. And so if you're Boston, and you also think about the owner, Joe Lacob was a minority owner with Boston, and then he broke away from there, bought this team, and the rest is ongoing history. So I do think that Boston looks at the Warriors a little bit like the Niners look at the Chiefs.
I love this. I think you're probably right. I can't get my mind around being a Boston fan, and I mean that in about 18 different ways.
Yeah.
I am never, ever, and this isn't me being a coastal elite, but I'm never going to wear a t-shirt that has another human being's name on it that says that person is a B. Like, that's just not really in my personality. But if that's you, have a great time, get a beer, get a dog, scream and yell. That's have a great time. But I think you're on to something, which is that I don't know if rivalry is the right word, but what you sort of said when we were talking about this earlier is when these two teams get together, no matter the scenario or the backdrop, it feels big. In other words, this is game eight. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's game eight. There's absolutely nothing on the line. But there is, just because. It just feels big. Sunday Night Football 2 weeks ago was a 3-4 team against a 3-3 team. And the 3-4 team we think might be good. The 3-3 team we all thought stinks. Guess what? Spoiler alert, they do. And now they lost their quarterback. But it felt big because you had big brands and big history. And so that on that level is where I'll agree with you tonight.
Yeah, and I think that when these two teams get together, at least for the time being, it is elevated. Like, you want to go Friday against Cleveland, that it's an elevation sensation.
I was going to say,
which is the
like,
original.
My God.
Thank you.
I'm like, he's not going to miss this one, is he?
And we should actually play the Tim Roy when the original gets orated. It's an elevation sensation.
Well, does it even count anymore? He even admitted to us last week. He barely uses it anymore.
No, but when he does, it's so magical.
It's a big deal.
And I love it when I hear it, and it makes me smile because it makes me think that he's doing it for me because I've asked him time and time again, can you, and you did it too. Yeah. Can you please, can you use it
can
more?
Can you just do it, please? Just,
I mean, come on, Tim. Like, when somebody dunks, can you just do it?
Well, I mean, it's like going to a concert of your favorite group and they won't play the best song.
No doubt.
Like, come on, man. Give us what we came for.
That's exactly it.
Thank you.
But he feels like it kind of cheapens his overall acumen as a broadcaster, and well, I get that, yeah, so I don't want
to
pressure
he's
him.
He's trying not to overexpose it.
Right.
And that's fine, but yeah. We're going to be here to encourage him to do exactly the opposite.
No doubt. And I think that when these two teams get together, it does become elevated. Like Friday against Cleveland, LeBron's gone, and Cleveland's good, but it doesn't feel like, all right, Warriors-Cavs, it's a finals rematch. No, it's really not, because they don't have anybody remaining who played. Kevin Love is gone, Kyrie's gone, LeBron's gone, Tristan Thompson is somewhere, and you get the point. I think he's actually in Boston. I could be wrong, but
who knows?
The point is,
whatever.
Like in OKC, yeah, we can all hearken back to Game 6 Clay, and that was cool, but that team is totally different as well. But when you get to Boston, and it's just a couple years removed from the NBA Finals, and remember that series where the Warriors were in trouble. Draymond went there after a split here, and it was F you, Draymond. Draymond's a B. He played poorly.
He got flustered.
They lost by 16. You're down 2-1.
Yeah.
Facing a 3-1 hole on the road. And then, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Here comes Steph.
Yeah, dude, that was, you and I have talked about it so many times. It goes down as one of my top five favorite Bay Area sort of championship or late playoff moments that I can remember. And brought the boys and did the watch party inside Chase Center, where Chase
right.
Center opened
yep.
up, and we watched yep. that game there. But you remember the 48-hour news cycle leading up to that game? Dude, it was a death march.
Yep.
The Warriors were done, and Boston was the better team, and they were going to clearly do this, that, and the other. They never won another game.
No.
They never won another game.
Steph went 14 of 26, 7 of 14 from 3. He had 43... Clay with 18, Wiggins with 17. Thank you, Andrew. That's the Andrew we need again tonight.
I remember that, Andrew.
107-97, the Warriors snatch it back at Boston, and they didn't lose again.
And they never lost again.
And I do think that even though Boston had their title last year, which was great, they were again a very good team, and they handled their business. I still think when Golden State comes to town, and the chef in that building, there still is that feeling of, oh, we got to get this guy. And now that Steve Kerr has disrespected Jason Tatum by not playing him in the Olympics, P.S., they still won gold. I think that there's layers to the rivalry.
Our buddy Anthony Slater said this earlier today with regard to Kerr facing boos tonight.
He knows what's coming. The good thing for the Warriors is, like, to me, that's the best guy in their organization. He loves to take that stuff and kind of get the spotlight off his players. Draymond in the locker room the other night was joking that, like, you know, that he won't be booed as hard because the attention is shifting away from him, right? This is a place that always loves to go after Draymond. Not that they won't have some venom for him tonight, but I don't worry about how Steve Kerr handles a situation like that, because that's literally probably what he's best at his job, right? Just kind of like shouldering pressure and handling that. I mean, that stuff doesn't seem to faze him.
Well, yeah, Steve doesn't need to shoot the ball tonight. So that's perfect. If I'm a head coach and I can get the opposing fan base to focus on me as opposed to heckling the players on my team, that's a win. Perfect.
Yep.
What the hell is that going to do to Steve? He's just going to smile and sit in a chair.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe call a play or two and argue a call and, you know, challenge another and, you know, clap and basically hang out. Steve's not going to be too deterred, I think, with his four titles. And Joe Mazzulla, great coach. His winning percentage is bananas since he took over. And he's got the one title. And he might have the best team in basketball again. But this is just one game. And so if they want to boo Steve Kerr, I think he's going to pull through.
Well, yes, he will. But listen now to the differing takes that have come earlier today from Boston with regard to what this means to the little brothers of the Warriors, the Boston Celtics. So you guys were talking about in the crossover, the visit with Cornbread Maxwell. This is with Steiny and Goo, but it's with Goo and Evan. And this is what he said about Steve Kerr sitting Jason Tatum and what it means tonight.
Well, here's the thing, and I talked to Jason Tatum about this and asked him, you know, I said, people want to say you're upset, you didn't play.
But Steve Kerr's job, and I might be one of the few people in here, his job was to win Olympic gold medals, not to make friends. And he did his job. He won a gold medal. Now, Jason Tatum wasn't playing well. And I don't think he deserved all that time that, you know, people wanted to him to have.
That's a big-time take now, coming from somebody that's so embedded in Boston. But Bonte and Joe earlier today talked to Gary Washburn, who covers the Celtics, and listen to how different this answer is.
Kerr will get a lot more vitriol from the fans than he will from, obviously, from Tatum. I mean, the fans are going to remember. They have long memory, so Kerr is going to get soundly booed when he's introduced as the head coach. And I think Tatum privately has had this game circled. He hasn't said much about it. He's not going to say much about it. But, of course, he wants to play well in front of his Olympic coach. He wants to show that he should have played in both of those games against Serbia, that he shouldn't have been benched. He's wanting to show that he's a top five player. It's a national TV audience. Obviously, it's the Warriors. It's Steph. It's Draymond, the team that beat him in the finals 2 years ago. So there's a lot of motivation for Tatum and for the Celtics. But I think Tatum is ready for this game.
Perfect. Get up for this one, Jason. Circle it. Let him know. This one's bigger than the others, because when the game's bigger than the others, you shrink. That's been his history. I'm not calling him a choke artist. The guy's had a lot of games played in the playoffs. He's had some good ones, but he's a lesser player in the playoffs, as evidenced by the hardware on Jaylen Brown's shelf.
No doubt. And, I mean, you look at what he was doing in the finals, and he was good, but he wasn't as good as Jaylen Brown. And they win that series mostly because of Jaylen Brown and not so much Jason Tatum. And, you know, you look at those games in the Olympics, and they beat Serbia, and Steve played 10 guys. And then they beat France, and Steve played 10 guys. And it was Halliburton. And it was Tatum, the two guys who didn't play. And Evan was right about the math of it, because you don't have 240 minutes. You only have 200 minutes because they play, you know, 4 10-minute quarters. So the minutes are harder to dole out. But KD and LeBron and Booker and Steph and Anthony Davis, they didn't have a hard time playing big minutes, nor did Holiday, who played 19 minutes. So, you know, there were minutes that could have gone around if he was going to be an impactful player, but he wasn't at that time.
Let me count this up real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, plus 14, plus 6. That's 20.
30. 10 plus 14 plus 6 is 30.
No. I was. That was an aggregation sensation.
That's a buck.
I was
and
doing
it's
10 plus
okay.
4 to 14. Yeah. This is 20.
Okay.
Thank you. He played 20 playoff games last year. How many times, game show music, please.
Scat-da-da-da.
How many times do you think that Jason Tatum went over the 25-point mark in his 20 playoff games just last year?
I would guess, and you know, I should probably milk this a little bit because this is kind
you
of a
should.
Big deal.
Yeah, this is
and
a really big deal.
I'm just remembering in the finals where he might have gone over that number once in the five games, but earlier series, he probably got there at least once a series. I'm going to say 5 out of the 20 times he got over 25
time
points.
Time out.
Stop the darn
music.
No.
Okay, I found it. I lost it, and then I found it. You saying 5?
5 of 20
five
is my guess.
5 times. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1? Over 25, you're saying?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3,
okay.
4, 5.
8.
6, 7.
8. I got 8.
3, 4, 5, yeah. 6, 7. Yeah, 8. 8
anyway,
of 20.
Anyway,
there
that
you go.
Died
what
on
is
the
going
vinyl,
on here?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
it's all right.
NBA Finals. Maybe here's a better way to say it. Three times in a five-game series, and I know they won, he didn't even get to 20. He didn't even get to 20 in three of the five games in the NBA Finals against the Dallas Mavericks last year.
Right. One of those games, they lost by 38.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, he had 15. They lost by 38. And
he was a minus 38. So he's out there for all of it.
Minus 33.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I got him at a minus 38. Anyway, whatever.
It's crazy.
Anyway.
Yeah, numbers are numbers.
Yeah. But those are my numbers. Oh,
right.
No, I see now. You're right. Minus 33. So
yeah.
He's out there for a good portion of it. He's out there for a good portion of it.
Greater point is that Jaylen Brown was better than he was, and when you got to a spot where the 12 best players in America were fighting tooth and nail for a gold medal that wasn't guaranteed, he played 0 minutes and 0 minutes in the two biggest games our country has faced in decades. And that, to me, is the biggest takeaway.
And actually, for me, sometimes this does get whittled down to a small sample. I'll tell you the one that really got me on this, and it's not last year, it's the year before. So this is the year after the Boston Celtics have been beaten by the Golden State Warriors for the NBA championship. And Jason Tatum is the best player on Boston, and they were supposedly the best team in the East, and they were out to avenge their loss against the Golden State Warriors. And they went all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals against the upstart 8-seed Miami Heat. And Game 7 was on Jason's floor. That's when an NBA superstar steps forward, right? Game 7, your floor, you're favored, you're avenging a loss in the NBA Finals the year before. And this guy went out there and scored 14 points and watched his team get blown off the floor by 19 so that the Miami Heat could go to the NBA Finals and lose to the Denver Nuggets. That's it. Like, that's to me, that's the stuff that we've seen happen multiple times in the past when Jason Tatum circles a game. So I hope he circles tonight. Go ahead. Circle it. Go out there with something to prove. Show Steve Kerr that he's a jerk. Do it. I hope that's exactly what happens from Jason Tatum tonight.
Yeah, he had 14 points in 41 and a half minutes as they got blasted. But to his, I mean, not to his credit, but to his case, they all were bad. They shot 39% as a team, and Miami took it to them. There wasn't a one Celtic outside of maybe Marcus Smart who was even halfway decent in that game.
I feel you.
But that was a home game. And Miami came in, and Jimmy Buckets took your soul with 28 points in a pretty lopsided, comfortable win.
Yep, yep. So I look at Jason Tatum as a really, really good player who still has a couple of things to prove. Look at this. FS1 right now is tonight. This is their question. You know how the debate shows do?
Yep.
Let's put a silly question on the board and then yell at each other about it. Here's the question. Is tonight a Tatum revenge game against Steve Kerr?
And below that is my favorite. Kerr benched Tatum twice in the 2024 Olympics.
Did he? I didn't know he put him in the first place.
That's my point. The whole word benched,
wow.
He was not benched. He just was the 11th man, and they were playing 10. Yeah. So was Kuminga benched because Steve chose to play him more,
but not
at the start of the game?
No, of course not.
Now, was Tatum benched, or was he just the 11th best player in a rotation where you're not even playing 10?
I'd argue Kuminga was more benched than Tatum because he was a starter and got moved to the bench. Tatum was never in there in the first place.
No, he played group play minutes when he was playing everyone knowing that you were going to beat South Sudan.
888-957-957 is the number. Here's the other thing we really want to get to on this, and that is, what are you, the Warrior fan, looking for tonight? Because we thought this was one of the more interesting things that Steve Kerr said to us yesterday. And if you want to listen to the whole thing in full, because Steve is also and always fantastic, you can go to the Odyssey app. You can find it on YouTube, the full interview with Steve Kerr from yesterday right here on Willard and Dibs. But I threw out to him this next three-game stretch. You're 6-1. That's fancy. That's fun. But people will look at it and go, yeah, but you haven't played anybody. So a lot of fans are thinking, hey, this next three-game stretch, I'm waiting for that before I assess this team. And I said, Steve, what would you say to fans who feel that way?
In the course of 82 games, you just the schedule can go back and forth. Your health, lots of stuff can happen. You know, if you win 6 out of 7 in February, it doesn't get on the radar as easily as it does when you win 6 of your first 7 to start the season. So, you know, I know everybody is singing our praises, but the schedule has been kind to us to this point, and we're about to play probably the three best teams in the league the rest of this week. So great test for us. No matter what happens, we've got a ton of work ahead of us. I'm excited because when I watch the tape, I see all kinds of growth ahead of us. But it's going to take a lot of work and it's going to take some time.
Okay, so Steve is like, yeah, the schedule has been easy. So now we're going to see what we're made of. A, I think he's talking to his team, and that's fine. And I am very aware that professional sports fans do not like moral victories. They don't like talking about it. They don't like acknowledging it. But what do you consider success for the remaining three games on this road trip?
Win one game. Just win one of the three. And tonight's going to be very difficult because Boston was 37-4 at home last year. Boston beat you last year when you played in Boston. And I do think that they're going to be all kinds of ready and agitated and fired up for this game. And the Warriors are too. And I think that Boston's got some injuries they're dealing with. Jaylen Brown won't play. And Kristaps has had surgery. He'll be out for who knows how many years, because that guy always gets hurt. You feel for him, but Boston still is very deep. They're good, and they're tough at home. So this game, for me, is a difficult one. But if you can win one of the three and then come back for Clay night next Tuesday at 7-3, that to me would be a moral victory.
I would argue, and then win that one. So in other words...
I'm just focused on the next three games of the trip. And if you go 3-2 on this road trip...
That's fine.
We talked about it last week. Yep. Like 3-2 would be awesome.
But I agree. And then again, I would like to see them then win Tuesday. So in other words, these next four games are all against top-level NBA competition, and there will be emotions in the building for all of them, particularly tonight and then next Tuesday at Chase Center with Klay Thompson's return. If we offered you 8-3 for their overall record after next Tuesday night, so in other words, if we offered you 2-2 over the next four games as a Warrior fan, would you take it or not? 888-957-9570. Is that satisfying to you? Is that aiming too high? Is it aiming too low? 888-957-9570. If we offered you 8-3 after next Tuesday night, would you take it? I'm with you. I'd say yes, but let me add one more thing, which is that I want, and this is where the moral victory thing comes in, I don't just want you to only win one of the next three or whatever. I would like for the games to look a certain way.
Yeah.
So in other words, tonight, I don't need a win. I need a game.
Sure.
That's what I think we need to see tonight.
And I think, for me anyway, if I was to pick the two that I want to win, it would be tonight and it would be Tuesday. Beat Boston at Boston, and then you beat Dallas at home. If you had to pick two, you only get two of these to win. For me, it's Cleveland, whatever, Eastern Conference. OKC, it would be nice.
OKC, I think that's an
in-season tournament game, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's the first one of the ISTs.
I don't know.
And that, for me, ratchets everything up a couple of notches.
Good Lord. What, are they going to have lights on the floor this year and make it really fun?
Those courts were awesome, you have to admit.
The courts were fun.
Yeah.
The courts were fun. And I'm so glad that millionaires made more money for their efforts. Cool. Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And we're sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport. Let's take some calls, okay? We're going to start Warriors Live in an hour. 888-957-9570. If by next Tuesday night the Warriors are just 8-3, if they go 2-2 over these next four, does that feel good to you? Are you in on that? 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs.
Curry, play call from Steve Kerr.
He's getting double teamed.
Yep, screen by Payton the second. Curry launches, got fouled. He hits it anyway and nails the three to tie the game.
This guy is blistering hot right now.
Got fouled by Tatum. There was no call. Of course, always, opinions are free of charge here on Warriors Radio.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, so we're not only excited because the Celtics play the Warriors here in a little bit.
Why else, Mark?
Right here on 95.7 The Game. Ooh! Ooh!
Talk to me.
We just got some details.
Wait, what kind of details?
Ooh, deets.
You got the deets?
Deets for next week.
Deets for next week?
And in 6 days, Klay Thompson... plays at Chase Center.
I've heard of him.
Okay. And so,
do you know what they're going to do to honor him? It's supposed to be the greatest returning player moment in the history of returning players.
Thank you. We got to come up with a little, what's the motto for that? Because that's long, what you just said.
Right.
The greatest moment for returning players in the history of returning players. Like, well,
it's a Clay homecoming.
Let's tighten it up.
It's a home claying.
No, that's not it. That's not
we're workshopping.
It.
We're brainstorming. See. You can buzz. I just thought that.
Yeah. Back to the drawing board.
Yeah, boy.
But anyway, let's work on that. But
it's better than Clay coming, which sounds dirty with the way you say it.
A little much.
Yeah, go ahead and dump that.
So here's what we're excited about. First of all, Monday on this show, we're giving away tickets to the game.
That game?
That game.
Not a game.
No, that game.
The Clay game. Yeah.
Good. Tuesday, we are giving away a Klay Thompson jersey.
Mavericks or Warriors?
That was one of my thoughts, too. I didn't ask that question
Washington
in the meeting.
State. It's a Warriors jersey.
Warriors.
Uh-huh.
Warriors.
Classic Washington State.
Warriors.
Totally.
Can you imagine if we're giving, like, here's your Mavericks jersey. Anyway, it's a Warriors Klay Thompson jersey. We're giving that away on Tuesday. But where are we giving that away?
Oh. On 95.7, the game.
No.
And now I get to go home.
No, physically, are we going to be? We're going to be at the game. And it's going to be in the same schmancy place we were last week, which is our favorite Chase Center soiree we've ever had. We are Zaza on the Plaza. We are going to be out there right in front, looking straight across at Gotts, looking to the right at Chase Center, looking to the left over at Bonte and Mully and Festus and all that gang, like right out there on the plaza so that you can come see us. High five on your way into the game. But wait, there's more.
There can't be more than
there
that.
There is. Yeah. So we are going to have a Klay Thompson carnival.
A Klaynival.
A carnival. I like carnival.
I think Klaynival's way better.
Yeah, Klaynival sounds like Klay's.
What do you got, buzzer guy?
No, that sounds like Klay's belly button. Klaynaval.
I didn't say Klaynaval. I said it's a Klaynival.
It's Klay's navel.
Tell me about the Klaynaval.
Carnival. Carnival.
Klayapalooza? Tell me what's going to happen out there at this Klaynaval.
Well, I think that discussions are still underway.
Okay.
But the idea is that we're going to have a whole area where you can just Klay out. Just Klay all over the place if you want.
Whoa.
Before you go into the game. So in other words, there will be little stations where there will be a mini pool where you can pretend like you're going to go on a boat.
I'm on a boat.
With Klay Thompson. Okay, there's going to be that. I don't know if we're actually going to do this, but we should have a little spot where kids could just play with Klay.
Pretty
just
good, yeah.
Make, right? Get some Play-Doh out there.
Who's bringing the kiln? Going to fire some Klay pots?
I'm not in charge of that stuff.
Some kid making an ashtray.
But that's a great question.
Paper airplanes, we know that paper airplanes are a big part of Klay Thompson. It actually didn't. It didn't feel good when I saw him do that at his first Mavericks press conference. By the way,
now, he's doing planes in
Dallas? For sure. And I'm not saying he shouldn't. He should. That's his thing. But watching him do that, and then watching the Dallas assembled media have no idea what was actually taking place, they're like, "Oh, look at that! He's making a paper airplane." I'm like, "That's what he does, and you're supposed to know that. Do some research." Yep. Anyway,
I might bring out the world record holder for longest thrown paper airplane, according to Guinness Book of World Records. I happen to know him.
Wait, this is actually in the Guinness Book?
Yes, 226 feet, 10 inches. Joe Ayoub, the pride of Terralinda High School, Cal quarterback. He shattered the record. Joe Ayoub. So maybe I'll have him come out and show these young whippersnappers how to throw a paper airplane.
Okay, so this was actually an efforted thing where he was like, I'm going to go break the record, and then he did?
You need to Google it when you have about half an hour of free time.
Joe Ayoub paper airplane?
Correct.
Okay.
If you got to Google it.
If you Google Joe Ayoub, the first thing that comes up is Cal quarterback. The second thing is paper airplane.
Okay.
And he worked with an engineer who I also happen to know, and they fashioned the ultimate paper airplane. They went into a giant airplane hangar, appropriately enough, and he threw this airplane, and he broke the record, 226 feet, 10 inches.
How far is that? Give me
that
a sense.
That is about 70 feet. Yards. It's a little bit more than 70 yards.
Whoa.
Yeah.
70 yards.
70 yards.
And what was the previous record?
It was 207, which was about 65 yards.
Okay.
Shattered it.
I have some bad news for both Dibs and his pal, Joe.
Oh.
I think the record's been broken.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, no.
2022, some children broke it. They threw it 290
Don't
feet.
Laugh at that.
Some children. That's the most random thing ever. You're just some children? Like where?
Dylan Rubel in Indiana.
Oh, I've heard he has a good arm.
And Nathan Erickson and Garrett Jensen. So
there's three children. There's three of them?
Yeah.
Which one of them threw it? Yeah, there has to be one of them that gets the credit. You can't have three people throw the airplane.
Takes a village.
No. Thanks,
unconfirmed.
Lucas. Thanks for ruining Dibs' day.
Never mind, Ayoub.
Yeah.
He was once a world record holder. Can't take that away from him.
That's fair.
He's a boob now.
Dylan Rubel.
In fact, I have the entire list in front of me. Those three children, then there was another group of three people.
When you say children, how young are we talking over here?
I just have a picture at probably 14, 15.
Oh, okay. Okay, so they're teenagers at least.
Yeah.
You may, like, I don't know why, but in my head when you're like, oh, some children did it, it made it sound like there were seven-year-olds out there or something.
Joe Ayoub, third place, 69.14 meters.
He doesn't even have the silver medal anymore.
Still?
Yeah.
Where are we, Stockholm? Meters.
Anyway, next week's going to be amazeballs.
Yeah.
Okay, was the point. So Monday, tickets to the game. Tuesday, we're out at the game and giving away a jersey and hosting the carnival, which you can come to and make a paper airplane and throw it at Dibs.
Carnival sounds a little filthy.
It sounds much better than Clay Naval.
It's Clay Naval. It's not Clay Naval.
Yeah, it's gross.
Maybe we can put this out to the listeners tomorrow when we have more time, is better.
Let's call it the Clay Carnival.
Oh, you're so boring.
Yeah,
anyway,
but you got to make sure people know what it is.
Yeah, it's
the Clay Carnival.
I think they got it, Lucas.
Yeah.
Come Clay Games at the Clay Carnival.
There you go. All right, let's go to Mike in the city.
Just make it happen, Lucas.
Hi, Mike. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. Two quick things. First, on Kerr and Tatum. On the Kerr front, I kind of take the Tim Legler point of view, which basically means that if Kerr had simply played Tatum in the first game against Serbia, like, not meaningful minutes, talking like 10, 15 minutes, he would have avoided this in terms of a media issue. And let's say Tatum doesn't even play that well. He can at least go to the media and be like, hey, guys, JT's not shooting well. We're going to make some changes. Then you're able to at least spin it in a way that makes a bit more sense. The other thing I'd note, and Willie, this one's more directed at you.
Okay.
For the NBA Finals, who scored the most points from the Celtics in the Finals?
I have no idea. Probably Jason Tatum.
Who had the most rebounds?
What's that?
Who had the most rebounds?
No idea.
Jason Tatum.
If you're making your point that those stats mean that he should have been MVP, I disagree with you, Mike. Like, Steph Curry.
It was a 5-4 decision on MVP for what it's worth.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, I mean,
he's only the sixth player in NBA history to lead his team in player points, rebounds, and assists.
Yeah,
like,
he didn't
shoot well.
But yeah, exactly, Mike. You watched the games. He didn't play that well. He was not as good as he normally is.
No. I think you're fundamentally wrong there in that, A, he was elite defensively, guarded Fives, which unlocks everything they do in the finals specifically. Like, the idea that he didn't play well is just false.
Compared to his normal self, Mike.
Everything else.
Well, but that's a big deal. The first stat you brought up was points. Like, let's be real. What is this about here? I'm not going to sit here and give you DVOA on Jason Tatum. Like, that's fine. He played good defense. If you want to be an elite one dog in the NBA, you got to come. If you're a scorer, you got to come score. In the NBA Finals, I'm not taking shots at the guy, but he was not as good as he usually is.
Isn't it about doing everything? points, rebounds, and assists?
Of course it is.
You can be an elite scorer.
Yeah.
You can be John Morant and finish sixth in the conference.
I'm not asking him to do that. I'm asking him to be as good as he normally is, which in my opinion he was not. That's all.
That's fair. I mean, I understand the point. I would just say that, like, given the team and that team's scope, he doesn't need to average 30.
Well,
he can be 27, 10, and 6.
Yeah, that's fine.
And they'll win a ton of games.
That's fine. And they were clearly the best team, Mike. They were clearly the best team. I'm not taking a shot at him. I don't think that in his past, he has been at his best in the biggest moments. That doesn't mean that he can't change it. He's young enough to still do that. It doesn't mean that he stunk out loud. I just think he's a little bit lesser in those moments. And Jaylen Brown is kind of the opposite. And I think that's what the eye test told us in that series last year. That's all I'm trying to say.
Fair. I get it. I mean, my only counter to you, just on that front in terms of who is better in the series, is just that it was 5-4 in terms of the voting. Like, you could easily flip it one way or another, and you're going to have a totally different narrative result. The reality is he played well enough to even be there at that point. We'll be done where I'm at.
He did. Yeah, Mike, thank you very much. He did, and then I'll also say this. It's kind of fun to blend the two points that Mike is making together. Check this out. He says, wait a minute, isn't it about being like an all-around player? You don't have to this and you don't have to that. Well, I'd argue that in the first point also. Steve Kerr doesn't have to play him. I don't like when we do this. Why do, and I've heard this from the Warrior fan base at times with conversations we've had, whether it be Jonathan Kuminga or Moses Moody or whatever, why are there these like rules that we make up in our head about what coaches have to do with playing time? He didn't need to play him against Serbia. He didn't need to do anything. He won a gold.
Well, and he actually didn't play in either game against Serbia. As I'm going through the box score, as you fight with callers, the first time they played,
fighting.
I know, okay. It's just fun to couch it like okay. that. And the first time they played Serbia in pool play, he didn't play either, nor did Halliburton. So it comes down to what Steve Kerr thought matchup-wise would work. And Jason Tatum had 4 points in one game, 5 in the other. He had 10 and 10 in a third game, and then you got into the semifinal games, and that was it. He didn't feel like the matchups worked for Jason Tatum and what they were trying to do. So it doesn't mean that Kerr thinks Tatum is a bad player. And if Jason wants to use that as fuel, then use it as fuel.
Sure.
And if the Boston crowd wants to take up for Jason and boo Steve Kerr, boo Steve Kerr.
Well, that's what they're built for. Yes, they're right. Looking to boo someone, and so they will, and that's fine. And tonight's game is not a narrative about the Olympics at all. Like, what if Jason goes out and scores 30 and the Celtics win by 10? Ooh, showed you, Steve.
What if he goes out and scores 50 and they lose by 3?
There you go.
Then great. Showed you, Steve, but you lost. And, you know, what if Mazzullo decides not to play him because he thinks the matchup is bad,
well,
like Kerr did in the Olympics.
Yeah, I doubt that with Jaylen right. Brown yeah. out. But, you know, I think the Warriors, the way they've played so far this year, are sort of, I don't want to say uniquely, but they're able in a situation like this where they don't need to worry about Jaylen Brown. They are defensively able to make tonight a very hard game for Jason Tatum. So if he decides that he wants to play hero ball, I think that works to their advantage. I really do.
Yeah, and I don't think that he will try to do that because Boston is a deep team and they're very balanced. And it's a matchup of two teams that are both pretty deep and pretty balanced, you know, beyond Jason Tatum and Steph Curry. And, you know, Steph is going to be hopefully feeling better even than he was the other night, and he only played 24 minutes, so you'd expect him to play additional minutes tonight. But these two teams kind of mirror each other, and Tim Bontemps had an interesting piece today on ESPN, a former contributor here on 95.7 The Game, comparing this year's Boston team to the 73-win Golden State Warriors. And so as you make your way to ESPN, just, you know, Boston off to a great start this year. And
that feels like a little much.
Could be, but you also remember that Warrior team did not win the title. So
right.
Go ahead, Boston, win 73 and not win the title.
I just think that 8 games in, it's a little early for that article. I haven't read it, but that's, I'm like.
Yeah, but this team is, Boston is coming off a title.
Sure.
And they are very deep and very talented. So, and I don't think that they have 2 stars and then a Kevin Durant as well, which would, you know, lead to that comparison.
I mean, they're not even the 1 seed in their own conference right now.
Sure.
So why don't we write that article for the Thunder or the Cavs? Those are the undefeated teams right now.
Exactly.
You know? But anyway, yeah, I think that's an interesting sort of conversation that I hear from a lot of people, even though I don't think conceptually they buy it. They do in a small sample and not in a large. Here's what I mean by that. If I ask any of you, do you think that certain players are owed a certain amount of playing time on a given night? Most of you would probably say no. But then if you whittle it down to one player on a certain game, we often get bothered when the person that we want to see get more minutes doesn't get more minutes. I just think it's sort of an odd position to take. Jason Tatum can be offended by this if he wants, but the final analysis is Team USA played really well, and they won the whole thing, and they got a gold medal. And one of the reasons, and I'm not saying these two players are similar, because Jason Tatum is a proven NBA one, but like one of the reasons everybody loves Buddy Hield so much is because of not just the way he plays, but the stuff that he says. Like, if you told Buddy Hield tonight, this guy's your leading scorer so far this year. If you told Buddy tonight, hey, Buddy, like, this matchup is a little tough for you in particular. We're not sure if you're getting in tonight. Don't you think Buddy would be like, fine, I trust you, coach?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
And it's because he's a little bit older and he's a veteran. And you could look similarly to Jonathan Kuminga back in 2022 when you got into the NBA Finals and he played a grand total of 8 minutes in five games. There were two games he didn't play. And in the other four games, he played between 48 seconds and 3.5 minutes. Now, did Kuminga at the time think that he was better than that? Getting 8 minutes over six games? Probably. But you got to that spot where we're going to go with not a 12-man, not 11, not 10, not 9. We're going with 8.
Yep.
We're playing 8, and that's it. And the rest of you, it's going to be the way it's going to go. And so I'm sure Kuminga was not frustrated, but I'm sure he was antsy to be out there and play.
Yeah, you can be frustrated. I just think this whole like retribution thing is a little bit overplayed.
This is a little different, though, because, I mean, Tatum is, as the caller said, he was one vote away from being the MVP of the finals, and he's a really good player, and he's averaging 30 a night this year, and so he's a top 10 player in the league right now. So if he wants to look at this game and this coach who held him down in the Olympics but also got you a gold medal, I mean, you're allowed to do that, and you can use whatever motivation you want to use.
888-957-9570. Have you already decided that the Warriors are good, or are you waiting for the rest of this week to unfold? Here's what Anthony Slater said on the roast earlier today with regard to how the Warriors are looking at this week.
Yeah, and I will say this. It isn't just the fans or pundits like us that are interested. There's some internal curiosity, you know, about how what they've been doing, the depth they've been showing, the defensive, you know, game planning and that they've, you know, that's been working, you know, their 3-point defense, as we mentioned earlier, their offensive execution, which they feel like is still like kind of the weakness so far through the 6-1 start. There's some curiosity internally about how that will play on this bigger stage, better competition. Like, I think they want these tests. I think they want to know what's real and what isn't, you know, what a rotation against the Celtics like might look like in the second half tonight, where, if they're down 12 and they feel like they need to chase down win, you know, does he suddenly, instead of playing 10, 11, stretching it towards 12 men, does it become a 9-man rotation? Who does he close with?
Okay, I love all those questions. And that tonight is very, very interesting for all of those reasons. Because the Warriors, like, and I wonder, sometimes you can try too hard at things. And so I wonder about that dynamic tonight. The Celtics are mad, their fans are going to boo, and Jason Tatum wants to show you something. And it sounds to me like Steve Kerr and the Warriors are like, let's roll the ball out there and learn a little bit more about ourselves and see what happens. Well, that means one team is kind of emotionally charged, and the other one is like, well, like we got nothing to lose, and let's just kind of check it out. Sometimes that sort of blasé attitude works in your favor.
Yeah, because the expectations are much lower for the Warriors. If you're Boston and you're coming off a title and you're taking on the big brother, as I laid out earlier, I do think that Boston sees the Warriors and has a little bit of a chip on their collective shoulder. So, yeah, you want to go out there and show them. And if you're Tatum, you want to show Steve Kerr and you want to show Steph, and the Boston crowd wants to show Draymond and show Steve and show the Warriors that, you know, we're the new dynasty. It's our time now, and we're going to stack titles like you stack titles. And so we're going to show you that we're the new thing now, and you're yesterday's news. So I do think for Boston, that plays into it. And for the Warriors, it's game eight, and there are, after tonight, there's going to be 74 more of these, and it's non-conference. And yeah, Boston's good, and it's a good check-in to see where we are. But Steve and Steph and Draymond and Kevon and Wiggins and all the rest of the veterans especially, they know that it's more about April and May than it is about November and December.
How do you feel about the idea of a moral victory tonight? What if the Warriors lose by five?
Nah, they lose. Who cares?
They lose, who cares?
There's no moral victory.
No, but I mean, that has to feel different than if they'd lose by 25.
Not really.
It doesn't?
It feels different, but it doesn't feel better.
Yeah, see, to me it does. I like, again, and I don't...
If you lose by 25 and Steph plays 25 minutes and Draymond plays 25 minutes and those guys shut it down in the third quarter...
That's a lot of 25s.
Well, then I feel good about that.
You do.
If you're going to get blown out, then get blown out. See, and then go ahead and rest your guys for Friday.
When I look at these three games, that's sort of my motto. I don't need a win. I need a game. That's what I want the Warriors.
Again, it's process versus results, me and you, because I'm completely on the other side.
Well, no, you just said no big deal if they lose by a lot.
Yeah, I just want, of the next three, I want one victory.
Yeah, that's fair, too. I'm with you on
results.
That. I'm with you on that, but I don't want to see the Warriors get totally outclassed, because I do think that that is going to make people feel like last year all over again.
I get that, but I'm not really concerned with how people feel. I'm concerned about how they feel, and honestly, how I feel. And if you win one of these games and you're 7-3 coming home, that's great. Doesn't matter if you lose by 50 and then win by one and then lose by 50 again. Although the Oklahoma City game, to me, that is one where
that's hard.
I want you to actually... I'm more interested in you competing with them than I am in you competing with Boston.
That's the hardest one of the group, though. I think.
Well, it's the end of a five-game trip.
Yeah, it's the end of a trip, and they are so young and talented and at home and fast and all of that. 888-957-9570. If we offered you 8-3 at the end of next Tuesday's game against Klay Thompson and the Mavericks, would you take it? That means they'd go 2-2 over the next four. At Boston tomorrow, at Cleveland Friday, at Oklahoma City Sunday, those three teams combined have lost one game so far. And then Klay comes Tuesday night. Are you happy or not with 2-2 in those four games? We can take some calls next. Keep having some fun as we move toward the game. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Withered and Dibs.